Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Now, as we know, turn on any television, open any newspaper, or tune to any radio station. COVID-19 is dominating every headline, and rightfully so, everyone, because this deadly health crisis is monopolizing every headline. But it comes with a cost to our mental health. My guest today is Dr. Paul Napper. He is a leading psychology and leadership consultant. He received his doctorate in psychology from William James College in Boston, one of the country's premier schools of professional psychology. He also is the co-author of the new book, The Power of Agency, The 7 Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. So welcome to the program, Paul. Great to have you with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here today.
Oh, and such an important topic that we get to talk about today. But before we get to our topic, the COVID-19 pandemic dominating the news cycle, tell us a little bit about you, Paul. I know that you help business leaders strengthen their agency as leaders. What does that all mean?
Great place to start. Yeah, I work with business leaders. I'm an executive coach. So I do a lot of work in helping leaders to develop themselves, develop their talents, to lead more effectively and realize their goals. And agency bolts onto that pretty directly. Agency, for those of you less familiar with the term, means our capacity as human beings to make choices and to put those choices into action. So decision-making becomes a very important aspect of what we do as human beings each and every day, because the choices we make largely define us and go a long way to defining the quality of our lives. So how we make decisions, how we put those decisions into action, is really the topic of agency, of human agency.
And give us an example, Paul. What would be a decision that would contain agency, or do all decisions contain agency?
Well, you know, great question. What we do as human beings is we're constantly trying to make sense of the situations we find ourselves in. And as we assess and define the situation, we figure out what, if anything, we need to do in terms of actions to take. So, for example, just thinking about the COVID crisis, since, as you pointed out, it's 24/7 now on all our minds. You know, we're at this stage dealing with a novel crisis, something that emerged for most of us seemingly out of the blue. We were not expecting this to emerge in spring of 2020, and it's causing us to need to learn a lot about what is the nature of this threat, what do each of us need to do about the threat, what choices do we need to make for ourselves personally. So agency comes into play in all of these realms. It is our capacity to both learn about what situation we find ourselves in and to make sense of it, and then also to figure out what we need to do about it. So whether it's a relationship issue that we're experiencing, you know, with a spouse, or with a work colleague or with our boss, or whether it's something, like a pandemic. We're constantly, as human beings, thrust into new situations that we are required to make sense of. And that's where human agency comes in, because it is our agency that allows us to access our thinking skills to hopefully, realistically, assess and accurately assess the situations we find ourselves in. Because until we do that, we can't really have a chance of making good decisions, good choices, if we start out from a place where we have not defined the current situation appropriately. So agency comes in because this is what we're constantly doing as humans, and sometimes it's small decisions, right? Small choices, which don't really matter in the big scheme of things as much. But when you get to big issues, like relationship issues, work issues, or a pandemic where, your survival could be affected, how we as humans flex our agency, how we access our personal agency becomes a really important part of the equation. It becomes an important part of our own health and survival, literally, in the face of a pandemic.
And given the pandemic, as we've been talking about it, and given that COVID-19 is dominating the news cycle, how does it affect our decisions? Are we able to adapt and cope and make, good decisions that contain agency? How do you see it affecting our decision-making skills?
Well, this is a really important question. And, I'll start in answering the question from the place of, first, human beings are primarily emotional creatures before we're thinking creatures. So we all tend to have emotions, and our emotions can be powerful, can affect us in many powerful ways. So, in terms of the COVID crisis, again, it's a new situation. Most of us are needing to learn what is actually happening. What is the nature of this threat? And then at the same time, try and manage the feelings we're having as we cope, as we move through this crisis. And so in terms of having access to your agency, the book that my colleague and I wrote was about how, what are the building blocks of human agency? What are the things that you can focus on doing that actually help you to have greater agency in your life? And agency in this context relates to power, your own personal power to create the life you want to create and to navigate through difficult situations, whether they're relationship problems or a pandemic. So, you're hearing agency more and more in the news. President Obama and his former President Obama in his recent talk used the term agency. Agency is bubbling up a lot because we live in very challenging times right now. I think most everybody sees that, feels that on a daily basis. And so it's requiring each of us, to be able to have full access to our agency in order to make sense of this thing, these things that are occurring, and make good, healthy choices.
And I think you're right, Paul. We have seen this word agency bubble up in many different ways. And I love the notion that is our own power or full of control. And that helps us manage our emotions, from what I'm hearing you. And I know listeners are probably sitting or in their car going, okay, Paul, give me something that I can do to feel grounded and healthy, to manage my emotions as I'm watching the news, as I'm listening to the news, as I'm reading the news. What would you say to them? What are steps that people can actually take to feel their own power, to manage those emotions and feel agency?
Great question. Yes, and you had mentioned in your previous question the whole idea of adaptation. How do we adapt as humans? And this is very important right now, and it relates to this latest question you asked, because adaptation right now is the order of the day. We are all trying to adapt to this new environment with a threat, a serious threat that's looming over all of us. So the good news about human beings is we are resilient. We do adapt. However, having said that, there are things we can do that help us to adapt better, more readily. And I'll share a few tips on that. One, we've already talked about the importance of managing emotion. In a crisis, emotions are elevated. There's a few simple things to understand about emotion. One is that emotions are temporary signals. Emotions, come and they go. And in a more healthy time, you don't need to pay close attention and act on every single emotion you have. I mean, that would be, absolutely exhausting and very distracting. So emotions are designed to come and go. If an emotion hangs around for a long time, I mean, it keeps coming back again and again, that's a sign that you need to focus on it and potentially do something with it. One of the best ways, when an emotion seems to be hanging around, is find a trusted other person, whether it's a close friend, your spouse, family member, anyone, a work colleague that you can talk to and get a little more perspective on why am I feeling this? What does it mean? What do I need to do about it, if anything? So managing emotions is really important. The other thing in a crisis that's very essential is monitoring your self-talk. So in a crisis, again, emotions are elevated. When emotions are elevated, it can get in the way of our best thinking skills, which we need to have access to when we're dealing with a threat. So, monitoring your self-talk is a very important additional thing to do. If you notice yourself in getting stuck in negative self-talk, where you're putting yourself down, you're criticizing yourself, you're literally making yourself feel terrible that you're just not meeting your obligations, you're not, try to break set. And when what I mean by break set is get up, move to another location, try to diffuse some of the power of that negative self-talk. So that's one thing you can do. Another important thing in a crisis to do that builds agency is control stimuli. Now, what do I mean by control stimuli? Controlling stimuli, you mentioned it a second ago when you said, exposure to news. News is one source of stimuli. There's lots of sources of stimuli. But in a crisis, we can get to a place of being overstimulated. We have too many things bombarding us, too much information. So we've found that lots of people are finding great success in moving away from social media. Some people have actually disconnected from some of their social media. And are reading the news more than watching news on television. Reading the news actually slows things down. There's less emotional impact. It allows us to access more of our critical thinking skills. So controlling stimuli, so that you're not getting yourself to a state of overwhelm is very important, because in a crisis, we can easily get to a place of feeling personally overwhelmed. And when that happens, something physiological is actually going on in our bodies where we have an excess of stress hormones circulating. And what happens when this occurs is, we don't have access to our best thinking skills. We don't feel good either, by the way. So it's very important to try to monitor the amount of stress hormones in your body. And how to do that is when you feel yourself just feeling incredibly agitated, feeling restless, but you can't and you can't relax, feeling your thoughts are scattered. That's a sign that you probably have elevated levels of cortisol, which is one of the primary stress hormones. The best thing to do is try to get a little physical activity, move around, walk around, unplug from whatever sources of stimulation you have in front of you, whether it's a television set, your computer screen, whether you're on social media, watching cable news, you know, get to a place where you have less stimuli and move out, particularly outside. Being outdoors is incredibly restorative to people. And right now, you know, as we all seek to adapt to the crisis, we need to try to keep ourselves balanced and grounded. So that's another thing.
I love that, Paul. I have to recap what you said so listeners can really take home all these really important strategies in terms of adapting to this COVID-19 news cycle that is dominating our lives. First, you talked about managing your emotions and finding a trusted other to talk to. And I have to say, study after study shows that when we let out our anxieties and our concerns, they don't fester within us and they don't lead to elevated emotions within us. And so that's such an important strategy. Also, you talked about monitoring self-talk and breaking the set and moving to another place and not having negative self-talk. And third, you talked about controlling stimuli and not getting overstimulated. Stimulated, reading instead of watching, going outdoors, doing physical activity, such important strategies that are really very important for listeners to hear, Paul. And so any other important strategies that we can give listeners? I just wanted to recap those three before we lose the importance of those three.
Well, you know, building on what we were talking about, you know, another very important tactic or strategy is paying attention to the people that you are surrounding yourself with. You know, first of all, isolation it robs us of personal agency. So if we're overly isolated, think about ways in which we can get connected to other healthy, supportive people. Leveraging technology is one way that you can do that. You know, setting up Zoom, little events, you know, whether it's, a cocktail hour or just a Zoom chat with a few old friends. Those things can be enormously helpful. The other thing is pay attention to the people that you're most close to and recognizing if you are around people who are highly anxious, highly negative, and highly critical, for all of us, even in quote unquote normal times, this is an important aspect of building agency because our personal agency is directly connected to the people that we surround ourselves with. So again, if we are spending most of our time with people who are incredibly negative, anxious, critical, those feelings are going to seep into us and they're going to affect our level of agency or personal power. So you want to be able to monitor some of those relationships and just keep, we can't always choose our family members, of course, but you can choose to set a little, some boundaries and distance yourself a bit from people who are overly critical and negative and anxious. Because one thing about anxiety that is important to acknowledge, and I know you know this, is that anxiety is contagious. It spreads from person to person. So, it's very important in a time of crisis, for you to be monitoring your relationships and the amount of support you're getting from those relationships. And if there's relationships that really are dragging you down and robbing you of your personal agency, it's important to try to take some steps to put some healthy boundaries in place and prevent that from happening. Because, again, adapting to a crisis requires us to really, try to keep ourselves as balanced and as grounded and as positive as we possibly can.
And of course, Paul, such important information, because all emotions, I would say, positive and negative, are contagious. So that if you surround yourself with positive people who are upbeat and hopeful, then that's going to wear on you positively in a good sense. And if you surround yourself with people who are critical, as you said, negative and anxious, then that's going to influence you and your mood as well. And as you said, Paul, even under more normal signs or terms or conditions, you know, we need to surround ourselves with positive people who are not critical, who are not negative, but instead are positive and hopeful. Such an important strategy. Pay attention to the people that you surround yourself. And by the way, I tell my clients all the time, you know, go and get with people who love you. Ask them, you know, what do you like about me? What are my strengths? Let them shower you with affirmation and love. And so,
absolutely. Great advice. And let me add one quick thing to that, which is also surround yourself with people who can teach you something. People who know things you don't know, and people who will also challenge you and say, hey, you know, you're really in a negative place, or you're really, you know, you're not seeing this situation entirely accurately. And I'm going to share with you what I think. So it's helpful also to be around people who sometimes question us and help us to learn and grow and develop.
I like that. Challenge you. Absolutely. Because we want people to move us forward. We want people to be curious and help us learn. So very important. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Paul, and I have two questions. First, you know, you talked about resilience. And very briefly, can all of this pandemic, COVID-19, news consumption, anxiety, help us one day to have greater resilience, gain strengths that we never knew we had?
Absolutely. No, that is absolutely the case. You know, if you look at all the work that's been done on human adaptation, when we're first hit with a stimuli, a negative stimuli, in this case, COVID-19, right? What initially happens is we go into what psychologists call homeostatic disruption. What that means is our performance on everything in our lives declines. You know, we're not able to perform as we once did across the full range of everything going on in our lives. This is really upsetting to us, right? We don't like it. It makes us feel terrible. And so, but as we seek to adapt, as we seek to learn, as we seek to make good choices and move up our adaptation curve, we actually, if we continue to work it, we actually gain skills, we actually grow and develop and become stronger as a result of being challenged in this way. But it does require, you know, some focused energy and persistence to stay with it. So in this case, of course, you know, we're having to practice new behavioral techniques around social distancing and mask wearing and, you know, other types of things to help us, you know, to survive through this. So as we embrace these new things, you know, which help us to adapt, we do exactly what you said. We gain resiliency, we gain up strength, but it's hard. It's hard to stay the course. It's hard to remain persistent, because adaptation is really generally the case of two steps forward, one step back. It's not a simple stair step straight up. You know, it's exhausting. So that's one of the reasons why people feel so tired a lot of the time now, because adaptation requires a lot more psychological energy, and that takes physical energy as well. So it's one of the reasons why it's a little, you know, we're all a little bit more exhausted than normal.
But that leaves us, Paul, I think, with a very hopeful and positive message that even if we feel exhausted and we know that this is a lot of work with new behaviors every single day, what you're suggesting and stating is that we can gain skills, we can grow, and we can be stronger sometime in the future. And thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Paul. Dr. Napper, it's been wonderful. It's such an important topic and strategies. It's wonderful to talk with you.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the discussion. You asked just tremendous questions, and your listeners are lucky to have you on a regular basis to help them build agency in their lives. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all are seeking, is to have more power in our lives, to create the lives we want to create. And, you know, when we have more agency, we actually enjoy our lives more too. So thanks for all the great work you do.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate those kind comments. And again, that power of agency is so very important. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Paul Napper and his book, The Power of Agency, please go to powerofagency.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So until next time, be healthy, be well, be safe, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.